take a stand and to take a stand for what's right. And I'm encouraged with some of those things that are happening in our society. But, you know, by and large, our society is an anti-God society. And we live in a world that is run by the small g god of this world, Satan. And he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And there is a tendency for all of us to feel the pressure, if you would, of the world to conform, to allow the world to press us, if you would, into its mold. Verse number 2 of Romans chapter 12, and we're going to focus primarily this evening on these two verses. But verse number 2, there's a little phrase where we get our message title. The Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world." The world seeks to influence you and I to not be separate, to not be godly, to try to fit in. The word conform is a word that means to shape one's behavior, to conform one's life. We know the world has a big pull. We read in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where the Apostle Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me." Demas was a fellow servant. Demas was somebody that was on the same page with him at one point in trying to help people and trying to reach people for God. But he says at the latter end of his life, he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Having loved this present world." There was something about the world pressing Demas, pulling Demas right into it. And Paul says, "Hey, Demas, he's forsaken me. He's not serving alongside of me." In John chapter number 17, we read, really, the whole chapter is a prayer of our Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said this in John 17 and verse 14. He said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So even the Lord Jesus knew the challenge that would face his servants in living in a world that was not run by him. And so we find him praying for us. We find him saying, "Hey, they're in the world, but help them not to be of the world." As we look at the world in which we live in, I think there's a challenge with every believer to kind of fit in. There's a challenge. There's a pressure. Oh, we come here to church and we all are kind of all on the same page and we're going the same direction and we love the Lord. And when you leave Victory Baptist Church and you go out there and you go to the workplace or you go to the ball field or you go to the grocery store or whatever, at times it can be intimidating, the people of the world and the pressure of the world. The church here at Rome faced the same thing, which is why the Apostle Paul wrote this. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." The construction here makes us think that what he was really saying is this: stop allowing the world to press you into its mold. When we think about that aspect, when I was a kid, my mom would make these Jell-O molds. She'd put all this Jell-O in these molds, and then it'd go in the refrigerator, and it'd get hardened, and she'd flip it out. And, oh, that's cool. Cool little design, you know. The world seeks to make us to conform to it. And the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians at the Church of Rome, says, stop being conformed to the world. But what? "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to give you four observations tonight concerning conforming to the world. And then we'll ask the same question we started with at the end. Are you a world changer? Do you see yourself as an individual that is here to help see the gospel go forth, to help see the power of the gospel do its work? Or do you find yourself allowing the world to conform you to pressure you to not take a stand, to not speak out, to dress and talk and act just like they do. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll give you some observations. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that indwells all of us. Lord, we recognize if any work's to be done here tonight that you must do it. And so, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us. And I pray, Lord, you draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the importance of being a world changer. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Observation number one. Conforming or being a conformer of the world does not, a conformer to the world, does not make sense. Now let's look at what the text here says. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, I exhort you, I admonish you, brethren, writing to believers, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God, look at all that God has done for you in salvation. Now, we don't have time to take a long look at the book of Romans. But if you look at, let me ask you this question. Where is the Romans road found? In the book of Romans, right? If you look at chapters 1 all the way up to chapter number 11, you will see what God has provided for us when it comes to the matter of salvation. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We look at the aspect of justification. We look at the aspect in Romans chapter number 8, and we know the passage of Scripture where it talks about the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's love. No height nor depth, nothing, principalities, nothing can separate us from God's love. And as we think about, and the Apostle Paul is appealing to them, based on the truth that he gave them from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter number 11, he's saying, I urge you, I beg of you, I exhort you, based on the mercies of God, look at what God has done for you, that you present your bodies to Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And here's the phrase that we focus on here with this point here, which is your reasonable service. It's a logical result based on chapters 1 through chapter number 11. The word present there is a word that commonly denotes the action of bringing. He's looking at the aspect of presenting an animal sacrifice, and he's making the parallel with an animal sacrifice and with our sacrifice as we think about giving ourselves to the Lord. The bodies of animals were offered in sacrifice. And Paul says to them, present yourselves, your entire being, to the service of God. Why? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we're bought with a price. You see, there was a day in your life and a day in my life before we knew Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There was a day that we were, as the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, dead in our trespasses in sins. But God, in His mercy, sent someone your way. God sent somebody to present to you the truth of Jesus and all that He did for us and all that He does for us and His love and His sacrifice for us. Hey, God has done so much for us. And do you know what? It's reasonable. It's logical. It makes sense for somebody that has been saved, for someone that knows their sins are forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. It makes sense for somebody that has been bought with the price of Christ's precious blood for us to present ourselves to Him holy, acceptable unto God. It makes sense for us to not be conformed to this world. We're His. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We are united with Him. We are His children. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. We think about all that we have in Jesus Christ. It does not make sense for us to unite with the world, to embrace the things of the world, that Jesus came and shed His blood that He might redeem people from the sins and it might redeem people from the bondage of sin. Is it right for somebody that is married to date around. We all say, no, that's crazy. That makes no sense. And it's not right. You see, why? Because somebody that is married is committed to that one. They have given themselves to that one. Jesus has given Himself to us. When we trusted Christ as Savior, we became His child. We are one with Him. We are joint heirs with Jesus. It doesn't make sense then for us to want the things of this world, to allow the world to conform us, to press us into its mold. 1 Peter chapter number 2, the Bible tells us in verse number 9, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, we see the same urging, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Christian people feel the pressure of this world to conform, to say, hey, I've got to talk and act and dress and listen to the music of the world and watch the movies of the world and talk just like the world. There's a pressure. And you know what? It doesn't make sense. God called us out of darkness. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's not allow the world to conform us, to press us into its mold. Let's remember what Jesus has done for us. It doesn't make sense, number one. Number two, I want you to see this as we look at Romans chapter 12. I want you to see, secondly, conforming to the world does not please God. If you look at the latter part of verse number 2, the Bible says, I'll just read the whole verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. The Bible says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. It is not God's will for you as a Christian to conform to the world, but yet it is God's will for you to allow the Spirit of God to transform you into His image. The word there is metamorphosis, or the word from which we get metamorphosis. It's the same word that Jesus used, or was used of Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration. The idea is to allow yourself to be changed, into His image. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Do you know what pleases God? What pleases God is when we say, hey, I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm going to let God change me into His image. And then I'm going to use my life to do what He's called me to do. You see, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know the best place that we can be is right in the center of God's will? The best thing that we can do is to allow Him to conform us to His image. Romans 8 and verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Ephesians 4, 22, the Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of the mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. Jesus told us why He came. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. What did Jesus come to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to fulfill the will of God the Father. And the world wants to conform us, to press us. The world wants us to hide our light under a bushel, right? You want to sing a song? You still sing that in twos and threes there, Vilma? We should have you come up here and sing it for us, but we won't. Hide it under a bushel. No, right? Don't let Satan it out. Right? You think about these as far as letting our light so shine. You see, Satan's okay with Christians being in this world so long as they're not doing anything. So long as he can get them to... You see, the devil can't do anything to take us to hell. He can't do anything. But he'll do everything he can to render us ineffective for God. And he does that when he makes the world, the world's music and the world's dress and the world's entertainment, when he makes it so appealing to us that we just jump right on in. Sometimes people will embrace a wrong philosophy that I have to be like them to reach them. You know, you really have to be different in order to make a difference. Why would someone say, hey, I want what you have? Here's two men, Paul and Silas, in prison. They're in prison for preaching the gospel. They didn't do anything wrong. They've been beaten. And yet, in prison, they act totally different than any other prisoner. You see, other prisoners probably would have been complaining. And they would have said, hey, this isn't fair. Hey, this isn't right. But the Bible says they were praying and they were singing praises. And so much so that the jailer eventually, I know the doors were open, and the jailer eventually says to them, what must I do to be saved? He says this, what? How can I have what you have? You have something different. And the Bible says he was saved. And those in his house were saved. We think about the aspect that we have to please God with our lives. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What are we looking at? When I conform to the world, number one, it does not make sense. All that he's done for us, all that he's delivered us from. It's like somebody, although it's a small little analogy, that gets cancer, say from smoking or whatever. And they go into the hospital and the doctor says, you got a chance, and boy, we got this thing. And the doctor looks at them and says, quit smoking. And what do? They go out and continue to smoke. And we say, that just makes no sense at all. And it makes no sense for us as God's children to allow the world to conform us into its mold. Secondly, it doesn't please God. Worldliness doesn't please the Lord. What pleases God, as a matter of fact, if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, we see another phrase about the will of God. The Bible says in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. As we look at the aspect of pleasing God, when I allow the world to press me into its mold, when I allow the world to silence my witness, when I allow the world to silence my testimony, it doesn't please the Lord, because God left us here as strangers and pilgrims. God left us here and said, let your light so shine that they may what? See your good works and glorify me, which is in heaven. So number two, conforming to the world does not please God. Observation number three. We have four total. So we're moving right along here. Observation number three, go back to Romans chapter 12, if you're not there already. And I want you to see that conforming does not take any effort. Conforming to the world is kind of the natural default position. It doesn't take any effort to just allow the world to press us into its mold. The word rendered conform properly means to put on the form, fashion, or appearance of another. It may refer to anything pertaining to the habit, manner, dress, style of living, etc. But I want you to see something when you look at this verb in verse number 2. It is a passive verb. which means do not allow it, which means that you as an individual have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to say, hey, I am not going to allow the world to press me into its mold. I'm not going to allow it. When you go out here to the parking lot here, I remember when I was coming up here tonight, just praising the Lord. I said, Lord, I remember when I would think about and dream about walking from the office to this building here over gravel and over dirt. And I remember when they put in the light posts out here. I was here and I was watching them. Man, this is just cool watching them do it. But you know they have a nice round post base that goes way down deep. And I'm thinking, man, that's pretty cool. And they ran the line to it and they poured concrete in there. And you know why it's round? It's round because of the form that they put around it. And now we look at it and there it is, solid can be. I saw one the other day. I didn't like it too much. Ours is kind of a little bit shorter. This guy was way up here. And I don't know whether they didn't go down deep enough or they were lazy or whether somebody was a little bit hyper when it came to that light pole. I don't know. But why is it the way it is? Because it was formed that way. And I tell you this, if we don't recognize and we're not sober and vigilant, do you know what? We will find ourselves being conformed to the world. That's kind of, if you would, the default position. Why is the Apostle Paul urging the believers, the Christians in Rome here, that felt the pressure of the world to stop allowing it, to not be conformed, because it was a decision that they needed to make? In Daniel chapter number 1, you can turn there if you want. Daniel made a decision that I think every Christian at some point in their life needs to make. And you're familiar with this. Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel and his friends, probably way more than we even know. It's interesting. We read of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's it. Now, maybe there were a few others that didn't serve the Lord and God didn't tell us about them. But my hunch is, I wonder how many of them just got into Babylon, they were taken from Jerusalem and found themselves in Babylon and just went ahead with the flow. Just go with the flow. What was the goal? Daniel chapter 1, to me, is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And it's amazing how the Scripture is so relevant today. What did they want to do? They take them from Jerusalem, their godly environment, to Babylon, the ungodly environment, and they try to Babylonianize these fellas. They try to say, hey, we're going to give you a different address. We're going to give you different textbooks. We're going to give you different food. We're going to help you to fit into our culture. We're going to try to help you to just fit right on in. And we can glean from your wisdom and we can kind of squelch your spirituality. But the Bible tells us, and we're familiar with this, in verse number 8, the Bible tells us that there was something different about Daniel. Something different about Daniel. By the way, when you look at the impact that he made throughout the book, we read of Daniel in the lion's den. You'd never read of Daniel in the lion's den if you didn't read Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel could have died. Quite frankly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have died. They were willing to die. They said, look, throw us into the fiery furnace. We don't care. We believe that God's able to deliver us. But if not, if God chooses not to, we're not worshiping. We're not doing what? We are not going to allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. We're not going to allow the world to press us into its mold. We're not going to allow the influence of the world to silence our testimony and to silence our speech and our speaking about God. And I'll tell you, this chapter here ought to be a huge encouragement to us. As we live in a society where it's intimidating to say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm going to stand for what's right. And we look at what happened here and we see God honored Daniel's purpose of heart. God honored it and God blessed him. God honored his decision to only pray to God. And he's thrown into the lion's den. And we love the story. We think, wow, this is amazing. And he honored Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's decision. Why? Because there was a time in their life when they said, I am purposing in my heart. As for me, and as for my life, and as for what I'm going to do, You can do whatever you want to do. You have a choice. You have a free choice. And every one of us has a free choice to say, hey, how am I going to be in relation to the world? But there was a day when Daniel made up his mind and said, hey, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to live for God, that I'm going to do what God wants, that I'm going to say to the world, look, I can't do this. I can't drink this. I can't act like this. I am God's child. And I think it's important for us to afresh and anew remember that this world's not our home. We're just passing through. We've got only one life. We'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is what's going to last. A heart purpose. And if you look at this manner of allowing the world to press us into its mold, conforming doesn't really take much effort. But when I say, hey, I'm not going to allow that in my life. Hey, I've got to depend on the Lord. I've got to be willing to take a stand. I've got to be willing to say, hey, wherever, whatever might happen, it doesn't matter. My eyes are on the Lord and I'm seeking to please Him. Go back to Romans chapter 12 and we'll look at our last. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want you to see number 4 and lastly, conforming to the world does not profit. Look at what God says about doing the will of God. God says, the will of God, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God's will is good. God's will is well-pleasing to you. God's will is what brings you happiness and joy. You see, when I conform to the world, when I think about the world and what the world has to offer, we can see so many examples of really what the world does offer. The world promises peace and produces pain and heartache. We look at that and we think about serving God, and God, the thoughts that He thinks toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. God loves us. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We heard today, maybe some of you did, of a legendary basketball player who was 41 years of age, who holds records. He's in a helicopter with at least one of his kids, maybe a couple of them. Copter crashed, and he's out in eternity. 41. Think about it. Brother Steve Brown, I played basketball with him in high school. I think Steve probably could be on the Lakers too, but he chose to be a farmer's agent. But my first thought, he gained the whole world. He's got records. Did he lose his own soul? You know, we don't think sometimes about eternity. And then think of sometimes about the future. What really profits and what really makes a difference. And I tell you this, there's not a one of us that hasn't at some point or other faced the pressure of conforming to this world. That's why Jesus prayed for us. That's why we see examples of the Apostle Paul saying, hey, this guy, we can't allow the world to press us into its mold. Folks, we've got a job to do. We get so caught up. Satan tries to get people caught up on all these little things. You know what? We ought to just all be about the Lord. And about letting our light shine. And about making a difference. Allowing Him to transform us. And getting right in the center of His will. And recognizing when the Satan tries to dull our lamp. dull lamp. It still works. But man, I like a bright light, don't you? A bright flashlight. Where are you when it comes to this matter of conforming? Are you a world changer? I'll tell you this, what a privilege we have to be workers together with God, to see God make a difference. I'll tell you this, if you're here today and you say, well, I don't want to be a world changer, it's one or the other, I'll be a world conformer, then you might as well just dive into the world and you'll find that it's empty. It really is. Nothing to offer. What about the ways that the devil seeks to try to conform us? What kind of music do you listen to? A lot of Christians listen to the devil's music. And I know music is subjective. I get it. But God wants us to be holy. What kind of entertainment do you embrace? What kind of television do you watch? What kind of paper, newspapers, or whatever do you read? See, these are some of the little ways that the devil tries to get in. You know, I tell you, you can do a whole lot with these earphones. I don't even have mine. I don't even know where it is. I can find it somewhere. You can be on the phone for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. You can be on the phone doing things that aren't that maybe hurtful from a spiritual standpoint, but it'll zap your time. And people say, well, I don't have time. You ask them, you say, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't really have that much time to spend in prayer. How much time are we doing with things that don't really matter? We need God, don't we? We need to spend more time in prayer. You know, as we think about our own lives, Satan wants to conform us. The world wants to press us into this mold. You can dress like this. You can talk like this. You can act like this. You can listen to this and still be a Christian. And let me say this, young people. I'll tell you this, the temptation on young people is to say, look at this big whatever. Surely they're making a difference. And this big whatever might be listening to the devil's music. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's godly. It's a decision we all have to make. Am I going to be a world changer for God? Or am I going to let this world press me into its mold?